This is Focus on EMU. It's a time during the halftime of our Eastern Michigan Eagles football games that we take a moment to look at some of the great things going on at Eastern Michigan University. And before we get to that today, I just wanted to remind you that Tuesday upcoming is Giving Tuesday, and WEMU is asking for your assistance with some end-of-year fundraising. We're trying to raise $50,000 in one day. It's this upcoming Tuesday, Giving Tuesday, 6 a.m. till 7 p.m. We'd love for you to be a part of that. It's just a celebration of all the great things that go on at WEMU. So we're going to do that on Tuesday, but now, first, we're going to talk about a bright spot on Eastern Michigan University's campus. And today's bright spot is Professor Christine Tracy. Good afternoon, Christine.
Hi there. Great to talk to you.
And she is the author of The News Sphere and a journalism professor here at Eastern Michigan University. And we're here to talk about news. And I just want to start, you know, we don't have a ton of time here, so I want to get right into the meat of it. And a great quote that you sent me is that, this is from your book, we need to cultivate an awareness of what we accept as news. So give me some insight. What do you mean by that to start out with?
Well, Patrick, one of the main concerns that I have is that people are not aware when they get news from traditional sources that the quality of that news is really can often be quite poor. What's happening now, because we have so much technology distributing all the information in the news environment, is that the original story can be so far away from the stories that we're actually getting. We're really often getting opinion, rumor, and something that I call news about news, that it's not actually news itself, but a rehashed version colored with someone's opinion of what's happening.
So you're talking about the sites like a BuzzFeed that are taking other people's stories and rehashing them and kind of giving a little more insight into their own opinion on it and then republishing it as if it were news?
Right. And one of the main problems with the news environment right now is people think because there is so much news and there's so many places to get news that we actually have better journalism than ever before. But what's really happening is that the amount of original reporting is actually going down.
So what has happened in the world of journalism? I mean, you're hitting at this a little bit, but as you've just kind of watched journalism grow and spread out amongst the digital platform, what has changed? What has evolved in the world of journalism?
You know, the biggest change that I've witnessed, and I, when I was an intern at a newspaper, when I was actually a college student, newspapers were actually still set in hot type. So one of the biggest changes now that most people get news from their smartphones is that news is a two-way environment. Before, we were just sort of passive receivers of news. Now we can actually actively consume news and often contribute to that news environment through videos, through blog posts, through easily emailing reporters, through sending photos. That's the really biggest change, that the audience and the readers and the news consumers can actually talk back.
So, and you describe these two styles as a debate style versus a dialogue style. What do you see as the difference between the two?
The main difference between the debate-style news is that there are only two sides. One side is right, one side is wrong. And we often see this on television. Sometimes there's a split screen with sort of a red person on one side and a blue person on the other, and they just wait for the other person to get done talking so they can say what they think. The difference with the dialogue style of news is that the news story itself is open-ended. That people, the best forms of dialogue news are when people invite challenges to their belief system and perhaps are willing to change their mind.
And you cite a result from a Pew report along these lines that shows that the stronger held a certain belief, like a political belief is or an ideology is, the more likely you are to get news from less sources. Now, you invite and encourage this dialogue style, but how much are people that have these strongly held beliefs simply just looking for an echo chamber?
That's actually, you've hit the nail on the head in terms of what the real problem is, that most people only consume news that supports their already existing belief system. And so they really are not open to other people's opinions and often drown out any contradictory information. That's the real challenge today. And actually, there are some news sources that are trying to do some things differently. One of the best that I've seen is Katie Couric's program on Yahoo News.
Mm-hmm.
And she's done a series of interviews. One I showed my students in my introductory journalism class was on the Ukraine. And she talks about giving contextual information to people, right? And so that you get sort of the current events perspective on it, so you understand information in a more historical and geographic context.
What are some other examples of good dialogue-style news sites or sources?
Well, one of the really good sources, I think, is The Economist. I think The Economist doesn't have some of the political overlay that some of the other news sites do. And one of the great things about a dialogue style of news is that it just presents the facts and the information and allows the reader to make up their own mind about what's really happening.
Let's jump back to Katie Couric for a moment. And I know that I heard in an interview that she had done that the show through Yahoo was basically completely free to do whatever she wanted it to do. And that begs the question of, are journalists wanting to do more of this, or are the news organizations kind of stifling this and feeding the frenzy of the echo chamber again? Or how do you see that? Are journalists wanting to do this, but really feeling constrained by the people controlling their news organizations?
Well, I think that for the most part, that one of the biggest problems is resources to really do the boots on the ground kind of investigative journalism and really good local reporting that we had in the past. But in the defense of news organizations, I think they really are trying very hard to innovate. And if we look carefully and consciously enough, we can find lots and lots of good examples of quality journalism. One of the best I saw recently, again, that I showed to my students, was a video report that the New York Times did from the perspective of an ambulance driver in Ebola. So we hear lots of stories about Ebola. You know, most of us often maybe don't even know exactly where Liberia is. But this story was done from the point of view of an ambulance driver. So really up close and personal about what the devastation and the suffering that this disease has caused.
So obviously there is a problem that exists in our news, quote unquote, world today. And how do we get past that? I know you're an educator, so you probably are advocating a place of education for the consumers, but how do we get the word out there that maybe there is a better way to ingest news or a better source to get your news from?
I think the best way to do it, and I talk about an integral style of news, is to just start with us, to start each one of us, to start doing it differently. And I honestly believe if each one of us started consuming news differently, that the whole environment would change. And one of the things I believe in is triangulating news sources, is to not take news from even one or two sources, but to look for multiple sources of news, and especially to look for reporting that might contradict or be at odds with our own political or existing beliefs. So we get constant challenges to our mindset, that we keep our minds open.
And that's actually somewhere where technology could be an aid rather than a detriment. There are so many great news aggregators out there that are completely independent. They just let you define your topic or your sources, and they pull that all together for you. Do you see that kind of mass consumption from multiple sources as a way to get past this current trend of the debate versus dialogue style of news?
Right, and good aggregators, but also following, wonderful Twitter feeds. There's something wonderful about getting the most current information from a whole wide variety of sources, and there's something called a tweet deck where you can actually aggregate that for yourself.
So it's educating the consumers then to be able to differentiate and to be able to see multiple viewpoints and determine for themselves where the truth or the whole story might lie.
Right. And over time, if you develop really good filters and good sources, you will be getting a really good quality flow of news to you.
Well, thank you. This was Christine Tracy, professor of journalism and author of The News Sphere, and this was Focus on EMU during Eastern Michigan University Halftime. We're going to take you back now to the Eastern Michigan University Halftime Show, but first wanted to remind you that Tuesday is Giving Tuesday, and we need your help with some end-of-year fundraising here on 89.1 WEMU, so we'd love to invite you to go to WEMU.org and get more information about that today.